I hope that you get hope today. What do you think about that? I hope that you get hope today, that you will really understand that it's available. You know what I'm excited about is when you watch a video like that here in the 21st century. Because sometimes we feel like God only did those kind of things way back, right, at biblical times. And right here, that was this year. TC went through this. There was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of healing. A lot of doctors said that he wasn't going to be able to make it. And guess what happened? God worked a miracle in TC's life. And it was his faith, his hope, his belief. And he would even say things like this. Man, Terry was very straight up there. He'd go, "Hey, Rev, you know all that stuff you preach?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "It makes a lot of sense right now." He said, "If I'm out, I'm in." I said, "There you go. If you're out, you're in. When we're out, we're in." Now, I want you to hear that today, okay? You say, why in the world do we talk about Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected all the time? Because guess what? When your sin is forgiven, when you've asked Christ into your life, you are connected to heaven. So when you leave here, you'll be there. Does everybody understand that? When you leave here, you'll what? You'll be there with Christ. That has got to be a great hope. How many of y'all consider that? Hey, I think that's a good hope. I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm excited about that, especially in December. I get excited because here's my prayer. I hope you'll join with me. I pray that we see as many people come to know Christ, receive grace, be forgiven as possible in the month of December. And here's the reason I like December. There's a lot of folk that'll at least listen to Jesus in December, right? I mean, it's Christmas time. You got sleigh bells out, people decorating things, and they'll at least hear it out. Do you realize that a lot of people have just not heard the truth of God? They just haven't heard the truth of God. Nobody's just very frankly said, "Hey, listen, this is what makes my life, it's life, that Jesus Christ is in me and he brings me great hope." So we're on the Advent Sunday of hope. Hope. Jesus is not like hope. He is hope. Big difference. He's not a like, he's an is. He is in motion. He is hopeful. I don't have a hope that you go to heaven. I have a know that you go to heaven if you'll receive Christ. Does that make a difference? And we know it's true. We're going to talk about hope. Go with me to an interesting place for an Advent time. 1 Kings, verse 17. 1 Kings, verse 17. We're going to deal with a prophet named Elijah. Excuse me, Jeff. Named Elijah. Elijah has been called to bring some bad news. How many of y'all have ever been called to bring some bad news? And we're going to hit a moment in Israel's history when they become disobedient. Now, I want to start there today. If you want to get away from hope, if you want to feel hopeless, how many of you have discovered this? When I make decisions to not do what God asks me to do, I lack hope. How many of y'all have made that discovery already? I'm glad to see you young folk are even on top of that already. It takes some people well into their 40s before they realize this. Duh. If I would do the right thing, I would see more of the right things. How many of y'all have seen that kind of happen? If I would make better decisions, I will have a better life. How many of you all find that to be practical? Now, that's not cool anymore. I know that's not cool. That's not the new vogue. The new vogue sounds like this. I'm going to screw up my life, and I should blame it on somebody else. True? Now, this makes it hard to preach the gospel because you won't find hope till you own your consequences. This is where I am. This is what I've done. This is where I find my life at this moment. Now, here's the good news of God. It doesn't have to stay there. How many of y'all glad to know that your life doesn't have to stay? It doesn't have to stay there. It doesn't have to stay parked in one place. Anybody excited about that? That's what I like about hope. So if you don't mind, if you kind of look at your neighbor over here and go, "You could change." Just go ahead and let them know that. Come on. That's a great Christmas. You could change. Now, that means this. If we can change, there's hope in the house. Amen? How many of y'all glad to know there's hope in the house? Because I can change. And God will change me. And because of that, there's hope in the house. See, this is what's incredible to me. This is why I love participating in the kingdom of God. I don't have any idea what any of you are going to do before you leave the planet. I don't know what great thing God's going to do in your life. I don't know. You know, you might be the one that saves the planet. I don't know. But I know this, we got to be faithful in the moment to know the hope of God. Does that make sense? If I am faithful in the moment, I will begin to know the hope of God. Now, here's some things that block us from the hope of God. First of all, disobedience. Write that down, disobedience. Second of all, I don't feel like going there. We miss hope because a lot of us live our lives based on our feelings. True or false? You know, even a lot of us, sometimes we'll miss Christmas because it doesn't feel like what? Christmas. You know, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Like today, I think this one feels like a good Christmas. I could do Christmas Miami. Christmas at 80 degrees, no problem for me. That's my kind of Christmas, okay? I would love to live in a place where I went water skiing for Christmas celebration, okay? But Christmas is not a feeling, it's truth. But how many of us miss life, we miss hope because we base our lives on feelings? Okay, that's a heads up. Take a look at that. And then the third way we miss hope is it's just not our direction. I don't want to go there. I mean, it's just plain out, I don't want to go there. How many of you Western students, you know, as you go roll it back just a little bit, man, you're looking for a college. You guys that were being recruited, you probably had several colleges recruiting you, right? Well, guess what? Sometimes God will bring you to a place that you don't want to go because that's where the blessing is. But at first, you don't want to what? Go, wham, why can't I stay close to home? Wham, why don't I get to do this? I mean, we wham a lot in this world. Hello? How many of y'all found this? Elizabeth, this may be her story. You dated somebody that you originally thought you wouldn't be with and ended up marrying them, and that was the better person. That might be Elizabeth's story. But you see what I'm saying? You're like, how many of y'all have even said this? I'd never be with a person like that, and that was the person that really you need to be with. You see, God moves in all kinds of strange and different ways. Now, let's look at Elijah, because here's what I want you to see about hope. There is a hope to hear today for anybody to be saved. Now, I tell you that every Sunday, but I want to tell you every Sunday, okay? And here's why. I know that Monday through Saturday, the devil sets things up in our lives to try to tell us that we can't be connected to God. I mean, it just happens. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. How many of y'all blew it somewhere along the week? How many of y'all said something you wish you hadn't said this week? Anybody do that one? How many of y'all yelled at somebody you loved? How many of you all buy into, now listen, I'm going to really push this to you, okay? Quit listening to what everybody is saying, and let's start hearing what God has to say. I'm just going to ask you to do that for 4 weeks of Advent. I want you to listen this Advent season to the hope of God, to the peace of God, to the joy of God, to the love of God, to the reality of Jesus. And just give it an ear. Because I'm telling you what, the more I listen to the world, how many of y'all remember, does anybody remember this story, Chicken Little? Anybody remember Chicken Little? It's a little children's story. Did everybody get Chicken Little? If not, you can probably look it up on your iPhone and it'll be right there, Chicken Little. Well, Chicken Little ran around, and what did Chicken Little always say? The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, that sounds like every newspaper, every tweet, everything that we hear today. The what? The sky is falling. Who said? The sky doesn't fall because we say. The sky falls when God says. And I hadn't heard him say, the sky is falling. Are there problems? Yes. When did they start? I'll tell you. There were two naked people in a garden. One was a naked woman, where a lot of problems have started since then. And the other was a naked man, where a lot of problems finish up. It's just as Churchill said, behind every successful man is a strong woman. And by every man that has fallen, there is usually another woman. That's true. It started with this. It started with us as human beings. We lost the hope of God being realized when we did this. God said, don't eat off the tree. And what did we go do? Now, you men don't go, Fred, no, it wasn't Eve. It was Adam not doing what he's supposed to do. Huh. Adam had authority over Eve. They hadn't had women's liberation movement yet in the garden. They didn't have to burn their bras because they didn't have any. It was the Garden of Eden. Nothing had to be hidden. Why? Because it was in total sync with God. It has to be hidden when we become what? Disobedient. And I'm going to tell you, disobedience blots God's reality. But let me tell you something, young brother. Obedience brings it in. What do you think about that? See, we have the privilege of being the absolute reality of God in the 21st century. In fact, we're not prophets, but we need to be heralds. Y'all know the Christmas carol, right? Hark the herald angels sing. Now, I'm not calling y'all angels, not a Hillview. But you need to be like angels. Doing what? Proclaiming the reality of God. There is a real hope in Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you. Let's go to 1 Kings. It's amazing. 1 Kings chapter 17. We got this prophet named Elijah. Elijah's got to bring some bad news into his cultural moment. In his historical moment, Elijah's got to bring some bad news. He's got to tweet a bad tweet. The children of Israel are God's chosen people. How many of y'all understand that? The children of Israel are God's chosen people. Okay? God chose the Jews. Anybody know why God chose the Jews? Somebody got that right. Because he chose them. And if he wants to choose the Jews, then guess what? It don't matter what the UN says. It doesn't matter what the USA says. It doesn't matter what the Russians say, the Chinese say. It doesn't matter what the Assyrians say. It doesn't matter what the grasshoppers say or the Amalekites say or the Ninevites say. Guess what? If God says that it is, and he's chosen the Jews. There it is. Now, I'm not a real complex guy, so I try not to question God. God says those who bless them are blessed, and those who curse them will be cursed. All I know is I took him at his word, and I try to stay on the side of blessing them, even if it doesn't make sense, and I have found a lot less pain than when you turn against them. If y'all will go to history, I don't know if they still teach this in history class, but if you'll go back to the library they have there on the university, and you ask for the old history books, and go study them real quick, you will see that every nation that has messed with the Holy Land is no longer a power nation. So eventually you have to quit listening to professors who theoretically broadcast and start looking at history that absolutely reality projects. Don't mess with God's people, even when they're messed up. And God's people mess up. I know you all aren't going to believe this. This is going to blow you all away. Israel, God's chosen people, who God had selected and God loved dearly, decided to not do what God said. They had this king named Ahab, and he married this princess named, anybody know her name? Jezebel. You're exactly right. And Jezebel, see, Ahab wasn't supposed to be marrying Jezebel, not because it was a bad thing or because he didn't like the color of her hair, is that she followed a god other than Ahab. And the Jewish folks were to follow the one true God, the only God, and they couldn't have any more gods. And guess what Jezebel did? She married Ahab and brought in some other gods to Israel. If you want to tick God off, just get some more gods. This seems to be the number one thing that ticks God off throughout the Bible. What are we doing here today in America? What does the world say? All gods are what? What does the TV say? Well, all religions are the same. They are not. All gods are the same. They are not. We do it today. And guess what we think? Here's what we think. We think we can be disobedient to God and have the revelation of what? Now, by the grace of God, in spite of our disobedience, what does God bring us? That's awesome. Well, guess what Ahab does? He marries Jezebel. They disobey God. Elijah's got to deliver some bad news. It's bad news. It's bad news. Follow me in the scripture. This is the, well, if you will, the tweet that he has, the proclamation, the message he has to give. You ready? As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve. Who does Elijah serve?
God.
Whom do you serve?
God.
You sure?
Yes.
Which one?
God of Israel.
The I Am? Come on. Oh, y'all talking today. I like it. Which God do you serve? I mean, this is not a big deal. This is not big mega points. Well, I believe there's a higher power. Well, gee, aren't you a rocket scientist? Boy, you're an advanced human being. You've looked at your very small molecular life and figured out that there might be something beyond you. Boy, that took a giant intellectual leap, didn't it? No, do you believe in the God of Abraham, of Jacob, of Isaac, who sent Jesus? What about that God? And when you get to Jesus, it really narrows it down, doesn't it? Everybody can hang out with this superior supreme force that's out there, Luke Skywalker God, Deep Space Nine God that might put everything into motion. But when we get to the personal God that speaks, we get tense. That's where the hope is. Now, here's what I want you to know. Wherever you are, God will be. Okay, y'all need to write that down. That's powerful. Wherever I am. Now, students, you know in 2 weeks where are you going to be. If you don't know this by now, you will be in the desert quickly. In 2 weeks, where are you going to be? Finals. They have them every year. Every semester at the end of the semester, they have finals. And students all over America look shocked by this phenomenon. They wake up and they go like, oh my God, we got finals. They told you in August. They told you to be preparing for 13 and 14 weeks because at the end they were going to get this big grand finale test. And if you don't make good grades on it, your parents are not going to like you for a couple of weeks because you wasted their money. This upsets them and it feels like all hope has been lost. But it's coming. My question is, why do we panic? Why do we panic when we know it's coming? See, Jesus said, I'm be with you always. God said, I'll be there wherever. Elijah has to make this great pronouncement. By the God who lives, who is, whom I serve, I tell you this. You ready? Here's his announcement. That neither the dew nor rain will be without his word. There's going to be a famine in the land. You know what a famine is? A super, super severe recession. How many of y'all have ever been there? We haven't had super, super, super recession. Some of you in this room have lived in a depression, not many, but some. But I want you to know, no matter where the world goes, God will speak to it. Somebody hear that hope today? Now, I'm going to show you where we miss hope. Remember, I told you, we'll be disobedient to God. Sometimes we don't feel like going there. And sometimes God sends us to where we think we're not supposed to go. I mean, God just uses places that are crazy to do great things. Let me show you one of them. Well, when he delivered this message that neither the dew nor the rain in the next few years except by my word, Ahab got a little mad. And when you're the king and you get mad at people that say things you don't want to hear, guess what you do with them? You kill him. So he went to hide. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Now, how many of you all have ever looked at your local vacation brochure and said, I would like to spend 4 nights and 5 days at a local ravine? I would like to hang out at the brook. And most of us prefer a river or a lake or an ocean or a beach setting. But Elijah wins a free trip to God to the brook in the desert. To the ravine, to a desolate place. Hold on. Don't expect God. Note this. Somebody listening today? Don't expect God to bring hope like you would. Now, here's what I hope you've come to realize. You and I can't make hope last. And you and I can't really bring hope to anybody. Only God only God. Let me show you how powerful God is. So we got Elijah, the prophet of God, by the creek, if you will. Now, how many of y'all would be jumping up and down right now if God said, I tell you what, I want you to go to Tramble Creek and sit there. Now, how many of y'all be going, well, I could hear especially some of you Hallmark Christians. Well, I know the Lord's not speaking to me because I'm not at peace with that. You know how many years I've heard that bull? And that is just spiritual baloney. It's a little stronger than that, but I'm not going to go there since it's Christmas time. But I want you to hear that's honestly what that stuff is. That's not of God. It's never been of God. That's been made up only in the United States of America by groups of Christians that think they were created for God to bless them. That's not Bible. And so here's what I came to the conclusion of. If the church is messed up, then how can we not expect the world to be messed up? If the church is full of people that are about me, 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 how much more is the world going to be drunk on themselves? And really, we've gotten drunk on ourselves. True or false? What do you think? Y'all may want to send me down the ravine after I get done today. But we're drunk on ourselves. We make decisions off how I feel, how's it pleased me. Guess what? Here's Elijah. I got to looking at that this week. God has sent Elijah to the creek, or if you're from Eastern Kentucky, the crack. Hold on. He didn't stop him by to pick up food. He didn't tell him to pack any water. He just told him to go. And guess what he did? He went. See, some of you'd be blessed today if you just do. God's been calling you for weeks. Come, give up your sin. Let me bless you. Let me forgive you. Let me love you. Let me show your hope. Yeah, but Lord, I just don't feel you tugging. Are you listening? God didn't say, I'm going to tug you into heaven. He said, I'm going to forgive you into heaven. God didn't say you was going to jump up and down. He said he was going to take care of your sin. It's not about us. Hope is not about us. Surely to goodness, within 4 years, you've learned by now that human beings cannot create hope. I like government. I mean, we got to have a government. We got to have some form of government. But I don't trust the government to feed me. Do y'all ever read history? Governments feed you for a little while and then they starve you. Governments starve as many people as they feed. I don't find them as hope. If you're trusting in a government for your long existence, you will be sadly disappointed. Just as disappointed as when Elizabeth trusts me to come through at times. Guess what happens? Tell them, Elizabeth. I don't come through. Did you pick that up? Oh. How many times did you ask me, look on your cell phone? Well, I don't look at those messages. How many of y'all have ever disappointed another human being?
Yes.
It's just stuff we do. You reckon Adam was disappointed in Eve?
Yep.
What a stupid individual. Men, do you know what he did to us? Have you ever thought about what Adam did to us? The world would have changed if that brother just stepped back and said, Lord. That's all he had to do. She did it. But there's a reason he was named Adam. What's this? He's standing there in all her, you know, nakedness. You want a bite? Now think about this. At least it took Satan to tempt Eve. I mean, at least it took a talking snake. Adam, one naked woman, and he's done for all eternity. So you got to look at this stuff. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. You know, we get disappointed. We see great leaders who have led great armies and then in a moment of bad judgment lose hope. It's humanity. But guess what? God never leaves. And sometimes he'll send us to where we think we don't need to be, but that's exactly where we need to be, and it's crazy. A ravine. You know what God does at the ravine? It's a story of hope. He sends the ravens in. Check this out. He sends the ravens in. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Who brought the provisions? Ravens. Does anybody know what kind of bird ravens are? Come on, do I got any? It can be a warbird, exactly right. It's a scavenger. It's in the old blackbird turkey buzzard family. I mean, let me bring this down to Kentucky. And God sent a turkey buzzard. Have y'all ever seen a turkey buzzard? Now, what do you think about those birds? How come you're grimacing like that?
Because they'll eat anything.
They eat anything. Get big beaks, you know. Kind of got a head like me, oblong with little ears on it. Turkey buzzard. What else do you know about a raven? Do we have any literature majors here at Western? We still have those. We still have English department. What about Poe? What bird was he intrigued with? Why? Bird of death. It was even a bird of death in the ancient society. Check this out. Check this hopeful God. You're at the brook, which is not a luxury resort. You're in the desert, which is not a great place of just overabundance. And we have the God who created all humanity to his prophet who is obedient. He brings the bread and the meat in the morning and in the evening by a bird that nobody would suspect. God took what others thought was death and brought. Sounds just like him. How many of y'all glad to know that God will use things you don't think work to his glory? I'll tell you some modern day things. Nobody in Warren County thought I'd be a preacher. I'm telling you, that's the honest God truth. They still laugh today. We had a 30-year high school reunion, man. People were going, are you still preaching? I said, yeah. I said, you don't get to retire after 20. They go, man, we still can't believe you're a preacher. I said, I can't either. But God used the ravens to bring hope. Kind of crazy, isn't it? See, we think God's Hallmark God. He ain't a Hallmark God. He's a God of crazy situations. He brings hope in the most unusual ways. Like Christmas. God puts himself in an unwed teenager. Glad God was born in the first century and not the 21st, aren't you? Hey, you see, we think we create children. We even got women under the illusion that they make babies. You don't make babies, girls. You carry them. God makes babies. He always has. You see, I know about pregnant teenagers' wombs. I hung out in one for 9 months. I mean, God, you mean you were? Yeah. That was the fraternity party that went a little too far. But guess who made me? God, guess who made you? God. It doesn't matter how we get here. It matters what. We're here. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? God would use unusual things to bring his glory, like ravens. I mean, that just stuck out to me. I'm like, God, couldn't you have brought some eagles in? I mean, eagles would have looked cool. They could have carried a whole rabbit, you know. Boom. Food drop off. I mean, them eagles, they could have been packing like 5 loaves of bread and a rabbit at the same time. You know, eagle drop-off. See, I'm a United States guy. I like it impressive. God says, no, I'll use the ravens to do what nobody else can do. That's the kind of hope God has. And guess what the ravens did? They provided breakfast and supper. Y'all got to thinking about that. If God provided breakfast and supper for people in America, I wonder how Americans would respond to that. Exactly right, Jeff. That was my thought. They would want to know where their lunch was and their morning snack and their afternoon snack. God, what about snacks? True? Am I not telling the truth? If he'd have brought meat and bread, we'd wanted Pop-Tarts. But here's what I want you to know. If we can get past how we feel and where we think we got to go and just get where God wants us to be, guess what? We'll begin to understand the hope that he has. I'm going to help you with this Christmas story. It's not as sweet as you all make it out to be. I've read it in its literal entirety. It doesn't match up with Walmart. It's not a great Disney story. It's an unwed mother with a faithful father who goes on and does what God asked them to do, even though nobody else believes it. Nothing's changed, has it? There's people today think I'm insane. Harris, how can you believe in a God that you don't see? I said, easily. I see him. I see him in the people that are saved. I see him in the people that are healed. I see him in the realities that are absolutely changed. I tell you, today in the 21st century, I still follow a God that can use the ravens to bring bread and provision to the world. Got to thinking about those ravens. Guess what? We'll all see them. We'll all see a raven. Mr. Klein, when the raven shows up to me and you, it'll have bread in its mouth because we believe in the one who sent the raven. But for those who have rejected God, when the raven shows up, it won't have any bread in its mouth. It'll just be there to proclaim their death, to pick their flesh, and to eat their bones. That's what ravens do. They proclaim death. Unless you believe in God, believe in Jesus, the one that was sent to forgive us our sins, at our raven moment, God turns it into a provision. Now that's a God you can hope in. Amen? How many of y'all found God to work? Now some of you students, now listen, if you ain't studied all semester long, don't give a two-day prayer and think that's going to change it. I'll help you with God. Here's what he's going to say. Study next semester. You say, Lord, I'm up a creek without a paddle. Yeah, there's a reason. Study next semester. Hey, I'll just give you all a freebie. Those of you all in college getting ready to do finals. I discovered late in my academic career, if you'll read the book they give you, the test is easier. If you'll go to class, guess what? It's an advantage. You might know what's on the test. You know what I've also found in my faith? When you actually participate in Jesus, instead of just ponder Jesus, you begin to know Jesus. Jesus wasn't made for the classroom. He's made for you. He wasn't made to be written about. He was made to be lived out. He's not a God of big words. But he is a God that'll change the birds. You know what? He changed this bird from a bird of death to a bird of life. He's just got a habit of doing that. So some of you today, guess what? It's time to pick up the first Sunday of Advent, and that's hope. And guess what? I hope you will be saved. Some of you need to just get hoped back up. How many of y'all need to re-hope yourself? You've been listening to all this Chicken Little stuff. Watch this. If America goes broke, we'll have to find a way to eat. God will provide it. We got Twinkies everywhere. Twinkies will even survive nuclear fallout. You eat Twinkies and you won't have to worry about starving very long because they kill you pretty quick. It's life. Do y'all think we're the first generation that's faced a hard time? Really? We got people starving with air conditioning. about this. I live in a nation that has a shelf in the grocery store that has diet dog food on it. Wow, the world starves. Maybe God is going to have to take things away from us so that we might see clearly the things that we have. Isn't it a shame with all of our provision, we've lost hope because we just want to get it. And we miss what God has given. The birds are on their way. The birds of hope, I pray they will be the birds of hope for you. And when they come to where you think God has left, may they have bread and meat in their beak and not come with the impending judgment of death. God has already chosen for you to live. I believe that. 2,000 years ago, guess what God said? I would like to forgive you. I'd like to love you. I'd like to change you. I would like to come into your life. God's already provided the bread. What are you waiting on? And some of you are going to go, well, Pastor Steve, you know, I just don't feel like I can be saved. It ain't about how you feel. I mean, it's time for you to hear the truth. There's not a feeling. You're not going to wake up one day and have the I feel like being saved day. Especially some of you all that are rational minded anyway. Do you think God's not big enough to speak into your rational mind? Huh. My father's a very faithful man. He will never do this. Because God made him very low key. That's the way God made him. It's not a feeling. It's beyond just a logical thought. It's God who brings the hope that no one but God can bring. And that hope, guess what? Quite frankly, is beyond our reason. True? God hides out and even hides himself in an unwed teenager. Boy, that story causes the church to cringe, doesn't it? I never heard that part brought out much when I was growing up. It was always the Blessed Mary. You know, floating in all of her holiness. What about the struggle of God bringing hope in spite of what humanity said? That's where my world lives. And he still does. Today, God is inviting many of you to be saved. I hope you will be. For those of you that haven't been baptized, guess what I hope you'll get done? Take a guess. Come on, take a guess. You saw four or five people today get baptized. And guess what? None of them lost their hair. Doesn't look like there were serious problems with it. I hear people all the time, they said, you're scared to be baptized. This is the same water you bathe in. It's not magic. It's obedience. Go to the brook. Wait on me. God sends the birds, unlikely ones, to be the provision. I'll even push that a little bit. How many of you might be someone's unlikely bird of hope? This week, I hope you will be. I hope you will fly into their existence, not literally, metaphorically. And you be the one that brings something from God that totally surprises them. That make sense? Y'all got a little hope going on today? How many of y'all got a little hope? I'm finished. Y'all cool? We're done. I don't know if we're early or not. I just know we're done. I don't know if we're late or not. I just know we're what? But the key is, listen, I want y'all to hang out for a minute, okay? I don't want everybody to run out here right now. We got plenty of time. There's some people that have been drawn to grace today. And as our pastors come forward, they're going to welcome you, man. As you come from baptism, hey, y'all know what month it is, don't you? It's December, yay? Christmas Eve, we have a big baptismal service, all right? And so if y'all can tell Jamie, if you want to get baptized, if you'll go ahead and get that ready to go, man, that's an exciting time. It's usually a lot of baptisms on Christmas Eve. A lot of guys get baptized on Christmas Eve because it helps them remember when they got baptized. Their wives can help them. Hey, it's Christmas Eve. You got baptized on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. That helps. That's great. However, the birds need to bring it. They just need to what? Bring it. Make sense? Thank you all for being here today. West Kentucky football players, we've missed you guys. We've prayed for you all during season. We're praying this afternoon that bowl committees might see fit to see the truth. Okay? And I hope we get a bowl. And if we don't get a bowl, I want to congratulate you all for a successful season. Thank you all for playing hard and working hard. And we know how much work that takes. I want to thank, I see Daniel Sanson and a few others. I want you all to know, I just want to thank you guys for this. I'm proud of our kids. I'm going to be proud of our kids. They do good things. We ought to hear about it in the house of the Lord. The Bowling Green High Purples, and we have several of those players here, Jenkins and Sanson and Juniors Hayes and a lot of those guys that started, they here in this church. Two state championships in a row. Come on, that's awesome. That's awesome. And Klein, you never did that in your era, but I'm glad that you were one of the ravens that set in motion the bread for the future. Make sense? Hey, we all work together in life. Now, there are going to be some people come to Christ right now. I'm excited about that, aren't y'all? God saves somebody all the time. I was so cranked up in the baptistry. I saw those young girls, and I saw a girl that was baptized 2 years ago, and she's running around with the camera because she has shared Christ with her friends. I want to tell you where my hope, amen. I want to tell you where my hope is. See, listen. Young people, I'm with you. I don't buy the bull. All of our young people are going to hell. I said, they are not. I said, some of them are going to hell. Be accurate. But I said, some of our old people are going to hell too. Listen, I know a lot more old people going to hell than young people because I know a lot more old people. But you know what? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. None of us have to go there. None of us have to be without hope. None of us have to see the bird without bread. If we do what? Receive. But I'm going to tell you right now. It's time. Man, listen, y'all aren't going to like some of the things I got to tell you. But we got to get over this disobedience stuff. We've lost our everlasting minds. You cannot turn against God and expect God's blessing. That's like sticking your finger in a light socket expecting not to be shocked. You know, you stick your finger in a light socket and you're singing praise courses. Guess what? It's going to shock you. You put anointing oil on you, it's going to fry you. God's giving you some sense. Don't put your finger where? There you go. Let God bring his help today. Come on, let's stand up. Pastors, get ready. There are going to be people be saved today. There will be people coming for baptism today. Y'all need to get on both sides because they're coming on both sides. How many of y'all ready to God do a great work today? Somebody needs to be healed today. Come on up here. All right, let's pray. Lord, as you draw those that need to be drawn, if I'm talking to you, you know that you need to ask Jesus in your life. It's not just a feeling. It's an absolute understanding that you're having right now. God's drawing you. Hey, receive that. If you feel that messing with you right now, you ought to have a smile on your face. The God Almighty wants to save me. Man, isn't that great? It's not about what I've done, but it's about what he's going to do. It's what Jesus is telling you. Ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into me. I guarantee you he'll do it right now. You say, well, how do you know he'll do it, Reverend? Because he said he'd do it. Well, how do you know he'd do it? Because I know he'll bring bread and meat from a bird. I know in the desert he's still God, and in the mountain he's still God, and in the land of plenty he's still God, in a land that is desolate he's still what? Some of you need to come to be baptized. Let's let that happen today, all right? This altar's open. Y'all start coming right now. I'm just going to pray that God releases. Come on. This is a special day if you let it happen. Now, we can stand there and stare at the situation, or we can make a move. Some of you need to take care of business. You need to take care of business today. Lord, as you draw people, as they're saved, as they're brought forward, as they're healed today, I pray, God, that we not get in a routine. And if we've been in a routine with you, Jesus, I ask that you knock us out of it today, that you encourage us to be faithful. And so, Lord, I just ask right now that you bring those forward that need to come forward. Let us repent. Let us believe. Let us receive. Let us love God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.